Turn in our Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. We want to read one verse, verse 10. Our subject this morning is teaching angels. Teaching angels. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I think it is striking and miraculous in a way that the Lord has chosen to teach angels by what angels can observe the Lord's church doing. Essentially, that's what this verse says. Now, angels know about the directing power and the capacity of God, what He's able to do, what He is doing. They know about His sovereign prerogatives, that He pretty well does things the way He wants to, and that He has power and autonomy to do that. They know about His infinite creative talent. I don't know if they were present at the very time that He created the heavens and the earth, but I suspect they were. The Bible doesn't say, so we're not certain, but they know about these things of God's creative talent. They know about His ordering of the creation that He has made. They understand the principles of order that God has set in place. They know about God's far-reaching plans. They are commissioned to execute certain portions of those plans, intervening in behalf of God among men. We read of several instances of that in the Old Testament. We read of instances of that in the New Testament. And we read of instances of that in things to come in the prophecies of the book of Revelation. So we know that angels know a lot and are involved in a lot that God is doing and thinking. But it seems apparent from our verse, and I believe it's true, that while the angels know about the great plan of God in relation to His creatures, they don't at this point in time, although I think they know more than they did when this was written, because they've been studying this subject all these years, but they don't know, they don't understand as yet the fullness about the wisdom of God regarding the arrangement of events and purposes surrounding the church. And so we find that with God, wisdom, His wisdom has so many dimensions, and it springs from divinity alone. That is to say, God did not counsel with somebody about how He was going to unfold the motions of His wisdom in His created universe. It was all done by Him with counsel of the Trinity. And He didn't bring any angels in, no panel of them, to talk about how we should do this. And so, the unfolding of God's wisdom regarding at least the things related to the church have not been revealed fully yet, not even to angels. And so, they study those things of God's wisdom relative to the church. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 that they desire to look into those things. And so that's what we find in our verse today. Now we can assume most certainly that those angels know a lot of things being around the Lord from the time that He created them until now. And we can probably also assume that those angels have a level of reasoning capacity, that is, they can think and reason things out, that they're able to think things through that God is devising and unfolding. In fact, there'd be no profit to them at all in studying the motions, actions, history, and the upcoming events and the current events of the Lord's church. There'd be no advantage to that if they weren't able to reason out things and derive some understanding about the wisdom of God relative to the church. Now, the most amazing part of all of this about God making the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the angels' textbook. The most amazing part about this is that they are going to learn about the Lord's church and about God's wisdom, because you'll notice that's the principal subject. Learning the manifold wisdom of God relative to what the church is doing. They're going to learn all that by studying the Lord's church. So we want to think about what it is about the goings and the comings of the Lord's church, which is that textbook for angels, according to our verse. We want to look at the affairs of the church and think about what can provide such an education as this to those angels. Now, we'll look at this from, and we'll start, I believe we have to start from the premise that any characteristic of the church and any experience of the church, anything about the structure of the church, any business of the church as the Lord defines the church business, is some element that we can look at and angels can look at and consider the wisdom of God about. They can look at everything that is Spirit-led about the church, and they can even look at some of the things that the Lord's churches do that are not Spirit-led and learn some things about the unfolding wisdom of God. So I believe that's what we're talking about. And I trust that the Holy Spirit this morning will help every one of us to realize what a great and wonderful and amazing thing it is that this little assembly here is a textbook for angels. And what we do and how we do it and when we do it and why we do it will be a textbook case for angels in heaven to look at and come to a greater realization in themselves about how God's wisdom works. That's what a verse tells us. So let's look at some of these things and think about what angels are learning about God's wisdom from what the church is involved in and how it is and why it is. Now, let's look first at the aspect of God's wisdom that decrees that in Christ there will be an entity called the church that is perpetuated for all of time on earth as it matures into the future bride of Christ. Now let me say that again because it's a mouthful. Here's part of God's wisdom. That the Lord has decreed that in Christ there's going to be an entity, the church, that is going to be perpetuated generation to generation until time is no more. And as it is perpetuated, it is growing into what will ultimately be the bride of Christ. You know, in a sense, we're the fiancée of Christ today because the wedding of the Lamb has not occurred yet. And so, here's a fact of God's wisdom. Here's something that's going on because the wisdom of God decreed it be that way. Isn't it an amazing thing that this assembly and every one of the Lord's assemblies, exist today and continue to function, and that they will themselves be part of the instrumentality of perpetuating other of the Lord's churches, if Jesus tarries, until the trumpet blows and Christ ascends to call His people out. That this is going on generation by generation, century by century, as part of the unfolding revelation of God's great wisdom in how He wants to do things. That's what the angels are looking at. Now, let me show you the paradox, apparent paradox of this. It's not really a paradox, but it will certainly appear to be a paradox in relation to what else goes on the earth. Let me remind you that angels from the beginning have watched tents and skyscrapers and entire cities crumbled to the ground and turned back into dust, ceased to exist over the millennia. They've watched mountains wash away to flat land. and seas have dried up. They've watched all this. They've watched millions, billions of bodies of created creatures fall upon death and go back to the dust from whence they came. They've watched this happen century after century for more than 6,000 years now. And so angels are well aware that the proclivity, the tendency of things on earth is decay and return to a lower state. Angels understand God's second law of thermodynamics. Angels understand that there is a tendency in the universe for everything to decrease or degrade to its lowest state. And yet here is something that the angels look at day by day that God has decreed in His infinite wisdom to perpetuate, keep alive, and keep in force, keep active, and keep with power and energy His church until Jesus comes again. It defies the second law of thermodynamics. It defies the tendency of all created things to degrade to its lowest state. And it continues to be kept by the power of God, generation through generation, alive and functioning despite the decay that takes hold upon the world. That is the lesson, number one at least, and I'm not going to cover all the lessons that must be available to angels as they observe the Lord's churches through time. But that's lesson number one we can think about, that these angels are watching the fact that, lo and behold, the Lord's church does not cease to exist. It is not wiped from the face of the earth. It does not decay down to the lowest possible state, but rather it is energized from generation to generation by the power of the Spirit of God. And it's alive and well today, though established 2,000 years ago by the Lord Christ. Isn't that an amazing, wonderful truth about the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God, one of those lessons that I'm sure the angels are getting about the church as they study God's wisdom as it is reflected in the Lord's church. Now let's look at another feature of God's wisdom unfolding in the Lord's church. And that is that God has laid things in order, brothers and sisters, in such a way that humans, defiled, failing, temporal and temporary humans, be and become the members of that entity which is to be the bride of Christ. Think of the miracle. Think of the wonder of that. Think of the fact that when God laid His great and wise plans about how He would prepare a bride for His Son, He determined that that bride would be made up of just people like us. Now the angels, as they look at this thing, they know that humans are flawed. They know that very well. They know that humans fall short of the glory of God in their manner of life. And it's possible that angels, having studied humanity for all these years, realize that humans are not very good building material for an entity that is one day going to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than any other eternal being. They look on what God is doing here, and they see what He's doing, but they're trying to get to the root of the wisdom of God in this matter of taking flawed building material and building a bride for Christ. A church that lives through all of the ages and a church that enjoys eternity with God forever. Now think of the mystery of that, the angels who who are trying to get to the root of what it is about God's wisdom that has worked this out. They realize, brothers and sisters, as they look upon what God has done to date, they realize that God's first action in creation, that His first creative effort that He did was such that after He finished all of that He created those 7 days, those 6 days, He looked at that and declared that it was all very good. And yet He has chosen in what has to be ultimate wisdom to make an entity that will be the bride of Christ out of that which He has said of the elements of that entity, there is none good, no, not one. Don't you know that if angels scratched their head, they would be scratching their head about that until they uncovered the wonder of the wisdom of God as to how He scoped this all out so that it ultimately revealed and showed the great power, wonder, and wisdom of the mighty God. It's a mystery to us. He could have made Himself, made a bride for Christ out of perfect creatures, but He didn't. We're part of that bride, and we know we are flawed. The angels know we're flawed. They could probably think of many things better to build or to create a bride for Christ out of. Now, I'm sure that the angels have probably plumbed the wisdom of God regarding everything else that He's created. They've reasoned out the wisdom in the manner and the product of that creation. I mean, they look at what God has done out there and they can realize, we understand the fact that the earth, which was going to be the home of man, was just this certain size. Why do you reckon God made it just this certain size? Because out there is this sun that pulls upon the earth, and out here is this centrifugal force that throws the earth out as it circulates in orbit, and God wanted to balance it 93 million miles away from that which was to heat it. And so the angels look at that and they say, I can see that. God made the earth just that size so that it would stay in balance, circling around the sun and stay right there in place as long as God wanted it to. They can look at the design of the creatures of the planet and say, yeah, I know why. I know why God gave man enough blood vessels and capillaries in his body that he could go around the earth, that you could stretch them around the earth 5 to 6 to 7 times if they were all stretched out in a straight line. I know why he did that, the angels might say. Because he wanted every part of all their tissue to be refreshed with a blood supply. And they understand those things. They understand the wisdom of God in those things. But they have yet to fully understand the wisdom of God regarding how it is that He took flawed building materials and built a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're studying it. And you know what? When it's all over, they will have been able to have seen what that wisdom was all about. Now, let's look at another element of God's wisdom likely to provide angels with great study material. And that is the wisdom of God that has determined that this future bride of Christ will spend her formative years living among successive generations of unregenerate, unborn again humanity. Listen, brothers and sisters, doesn't it almost seem contradictory that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, and yet here we are in the middle of Sin City, upon this wicked and cursed earth, living out one generation after another as the Lord's churches amidst people who would cut our throats in a heartbeat, who reject us in every sense of the word, and by whom we are defamed and counted as little or nothing. Doesn't it seem almost contradictory that that is the case? And I believe that when the angels are studying the Lord's church and they're looking for that part of an explanation about the wisdom of God and doing that this way, that they themselves still have issues or questions about what is it about God's wisdom that has determined that it be done just this way. Well, we humans certainly can't see the very clearly the expression of God's wisdom in this. And in leaving the espoused one of Christ generation after generation in the middle of a wicked and perverse generation, this even contradicts the wisdom of men. And when if angels were thinking like us, I don't think they are, but if they were, they would see it as a contradiction. Now let me illustrate how it appears as a contradiction. I'll use an illustration to bring it home to each one of you. You get engaged to this lady. And you give her an engagement ring and set the date for your marriage. And it just so happens that this young lady lives in the slums of Chicago, the most criminal city in America. That's not my words. Statistics show that it is. And you get in your car and drive off and leave her there to finish out some certain term in the criminal city of Chicago, and she has no means within herself of getting out of the criminal city of Chicago. Doesn't that seem contradictory to your love for that fiancé? Certainly it does. Being threatened every day by the wickedness around, being tempted every day by the things that occur, having her life perhaps in jeopardy day by day by the wickedness that surrounds her, you'd want to snatch her up and move her out of there. And so from man's viewpoint, it seems contradictory that the Lord leaves His beloved in Sodom for a season, a long season, until He comes again. And the angels are looking on this, and they recognize that the Lord has always saved His people out of jeopardy. He's always preserved them in the midst of every wicked generation. And yet here's the church that stands in jeopardy every hour. And they must certainly be looking for an expression of God's wisdom in how and why He's doing this. Well, I could spend hours telling you why God's wisdom is manifested in this and how it's manifested. But I'm talking about what the angels are looking at. And so they're studying what the church is doing here, how it is reacting and responding to the wicked world around it, how it is keeping itself, how it is being guided by the Holy Spirit, how it is doing this thing of survival in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Now, so the angels look on and learn about the wisdom of God. And they're going to see what that wisdom is all about. They're going to see, as they study the things of the church and the unfoldings of the church, they're going to see the wisdom of God in it. For all these ages now, since the Lord built His first church at Jerusalem, angels have been able to note that regardless of the polluted, corrupted, totally depraved society that the Lord's church has existed in, she's been somehow able to continue to have moral integrity and commitment to the Lord. That's the hallmark of the Lord's church. Precious in the Lord's sight. Angels cannot help but to have noticed that when an individual church begins to be polluted, begins to be influenced toward too much worldliness by the culture around it, the Lord has gone to work on that church and has done things within her to either turn her or He extinguishes her. That's the way the Lord works. And the angels have studied this for 2,000 plus years now. And from that, they're learning about the wisdom of God in leaving His church here. These kinds of things they're looking at. There's another aspect for the study of angels that lies in this ingenuity of God's wisdom, and that is that He's devised to separate and preserve Christ's bride-to-be from the destroying forces of the world and the wicked one. Brothers and sisters, there's a special commitment of Christ to His churches to preserve them from the evil forces around them. Special commitment from Christ to protect them against the forces of evil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, His church. And so the Lord has made that commitment. But we find that since the workers of darkness have such power, the wisdom of God that has perceived and implemented a way to keep Christ's beloved church separate from the world and preserved from those forces is of, I'm sure, great, great interest to these celestial minds. These angels looking on. Those preserved angels that are studying this, brothers and sisters, know about the fall of the rejected angels, and they know what caused it all. They know why they did it. Those angels that are looking on, they know that this same influence is a mighty force on earth. Satan is not dead. Satan is alive and powerful and prince of the power of the air. They know this. And as the great plan of God concerning the church unfolds, they're looking for those aspects of this unfolding of things relative to the church to reveal to them how God devised a strategy that preserves His church and keeps ability among His people despite the wickedness and the power of evil that surrounds them. Now, as angels study this, brothers and sisters, I think the guiding, coaching, and protecting influence of the Holy Spirit upon the Lord's church becomes something they really focus on. I believe that's one of the central studies that they do is to understand the Holy Spirit's influence in protecting His church. They study the influence of the Holy Spirit in guarding them against destruction or damage by the works of Satan. Now, as the angels see the Lord's church, time and time again, they see it snatched out of destruction. And they see it grow stronger and not weaker as the forces of the devil are waged against it. They see it growing stronger and not weaker as persecutions arise, as trouble comes, as they are challenged as churches concerning the things of God. Those angels look on the work of the church and the experiences of the church, and they notice that all of these devastating forces don't make one dent into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church may actually be snuffed out over here by the law, by the forces of evil, by some force. But the angels will note that never fails, that something comes to replace it somewhere else or right back there. Another church comes into existence by the power of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I think one of the greatest illustrations of this is found in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. I want you to notice this. This is one of those illustrations the Bible gives us about how regardless of the forces of evil and how they work against the Lord's church, it actually manages to cause the Lord's church to be strengthened rather than diminished. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Notice what happened as a result of Saul's work and the great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad, except the apostles. We see two miraculous things that the Holy Spirit tended to here that certainly are a cause, a study item for angels. One is that those saints were scattered abroad even at the commandment of Christ, because He told them, hey, if you're persecuted in one city, flee to another. He didn't mean go over and hide out. He meant go over there and do the same things you were doing in this city. So the first thing is they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this amazing fact caused an explosion of churches in the Middle East and an explosion of the salvation of souls as a result of the great power of the gospel. And the second thing, did you notice in that verse that the apostles didn't have to leave Jerusalem? Despite the terror, the awfulness of the persecution, not there ever was a group of people that would have stood out in the limelight there in Jerusalem. It would have been the 12 apostles. But lo and behold, the Holy Spirit intends to keep them in Jerusalem, and they don't move a step out of Jerusalem, because that is how the Holy Spirit works against all odds to make sure that the large churches get to do exactly what God has commissioned and ordained for them to do. And their strength remains regardless of what happens to them. Now, here's a fifth thing. This thing of angels learning from the church also points to the fact that they're able to look on the function of a church as it is led by the Holy Spirit of God, and see as a result of how the large churches function within themselves, able to see the workings of God and how God intends to manifest Himself to the world. You know, we've got a bunch of freelance religious organizations around today that seem to be competing with the large true churches. And I got nothing against anybody telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The Lord commissioned His churches to go and preach the gospel and baptize souls and teach them to observe all things that He commanded them. And that commission belongs to the Lord's churches. And the Lord intends to present Himself to the world in the proper light, in spirit and in truth, through the Lord's churches. And we find that when we see a church functioning as an evangel for the Word of God, for the gospel of Christ, the angels can look on that and literally see the unfolding of the manifold wisdom of God in how He intends to reach the world with the truth. And I believe it's the church's responsibility, and I believe God can get it done through His churches. And I believe we as God's people, every one of us, should say, you know what? When I think about how my life should be a life of service, I need to think about how it can be of service through His church. That's God's way. Because the unfolding of the many wisdoms, many faceted wisdom of God is revealed by the church. Last of all, there's one more. There are more revelations of the manifold wisdom of God in this. Angels can look at the workings of the Lord's church and see the workings of God as it relates to cooperation among men when God is the coordinator. Angels are only able to find one. I don't care how many religious organizations there are on the face of this planet, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter. There's only one place that angels can look and discover, look into the secrets of the manifold wisdom of God about how men can cooperate in the things of Christ, in gospel evangelism, in teaching and upbuilding saints of God, and that one place is the Lord's church. And look at how that works. Angels, first of all, know that men have been at war with other men from the day that Cain decided that he didn't like his brother very much. They've known that. They've watched it all unfold. They know that nations have been enslaved by other nations because of arguments over boundaries or because of pure greed. They know all these things about man's behavior. Angels have watched as people have been enslaved by their own fellow citizens because proud and arrogant men have imagined that they were brilliant enough to guide the course of man rather than to let God do what is God's business. They've made slaves out of their fellow man and have been willing to lie and cheat and steal and kill to make it so. Angels have watched all this down through the centuries, seen it repeated time and time again. So they know how man does when he's just left alone to follow his own wisdom and follow his own passions and follow his own best advice. He goes in the direction of pure crisis and chaos. Now, all of a sudden, in this era, here is this institution founded by Christ in which God has declared that they will be able, brothers and sisters, to voluntarily cooperate with one another in the work of Christ. The angels, brothers and sisters, watch us as a church strive together, not strive apart, not compete, not conflict, but strive together for the faith of the gospel, and step by step as they watch this unfolding, they gain knowledge of the manifold wisdom of God in binding together a group of flawed human beings into an ecclesia that is to be the bride of Christ and guiding it through this veil of tears to cooperate together to get something done that God left us with 2,000 years ago. They look on, study our order, study our business, they look at our progress, they look at the manifestation of what our aspirations are, and they're seeking answers for the mysterious aspect of God's manifold wisdom. That wisdom that is exhibited by the Lord in putting born-again believers together in a common cause, with a common purpose, if you will, common interests, and a mutual willingness led by the Spirit of God to get things done for the glory of Christ and to improve the lives of every believer that they can have influence over. Angels looking on the unfoldings of the Lord's church to discover the deep secrets of the manifold wisdom of God. And one last thought. Every one of you that are members of one of the Lord's churches are part of that glorious work.